Mesechtes Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Gimel, 9 lines on the bottom of Daf Kuf Beis and Beis. The Gemara will now focus on something that was stated by the Bnei Marava. And as we explained, based on the Gemara, Mesechtes Sanhedrin and Daf Yudzayin and Beis, when the Gemara states, Machkul of Marava, it's referring to Rabbi Yisrael B'chirina. Rabbi Yisrael B'chirina made a statement that if there would be a scenario where a seller does not know who a buyer is and who the ultimate purchaser is and who's being claimed an item, then that sale would not be valid as he didn't have proper kavana and proper das to be makdil this item to that person. And our Gemara now begins Tana Rabbanan that we learned, and the Gemara will now try to bring a raya against the Bnei Marava that even if a seller only has das to sell to a person who he perceives as a purchaser, that would be a valid sale. As the Braisa teaches us, Halakeh Sada B'Shem Chaveri, if Reuven is buying a Sada from Shimon, and Reuven wants people to think that the actual purchaser is the Reish Gelusa, and as Rashi says, Sha'amali L'Meicha L'Tzerch Reish Gelusa Ani Leicha, and Reuven tells Shimon, who is the seller, that you should know I'm buying this for Reish Glusa and I'm his representative. And the reason why Reuven does this has been Skavel Hatla Imash LeYotzla Asikin, and he intends that people should think that it's Reish Glusa's property in order that they should be scared and they shouldn't come with any tainus against the Sada and against his ownership because of Amecha Shtar Mechir B'Shem Reish Glusa. And therefore, when the seller writes the deed, he writes in the name of Reish Glusa and he writes that the grantee is Reish Glusa. And this is the way that Rav Sheshet will explain the case of the Braisa, and the Braisa tells us in Kaifanes Limka, although certainly there is no question that Reuven certainly owns his field as he is the purchaser. However, the Braisa teaches us that Reuven can't force the Reish Glusa to write a deed to him and to make sure that Reuven has a raya that this field or this bias belongs to Reuven. However, the Braisa continues with him, Amalei Almanas, if Reuven tells Shimon that I'm buying this field on condition that I will receive another deed from the Reish Glusa, then Kaifanes Limka, then we would ultimately force the Reish Glusa to write a deed to Reuven. And we already explained the Braisa based on the way Rav Sheshis will explain the Braisa, and the Gemara asked them, "My Kama, what does the Braisa mean to say?" And on Rav Sheshis explains, "Hachi Kama, as we explain, this is what the Braisa meant to say." Halakech Sada Mechaveir B'Shem Reish Glusa. If Reuven's buying a Sada from Shimon, and he tells him he's buying it in the name of the Reish Glusa, and Kaifanes Reish Glusa Limka, then although it's true that Reuven owns a Sada as he bought it from Shimon, but Reuven can't force the Reish Glusa to write a new deed for him and to write that the Reish Glusa is transferring this Sada to Reuven. However, the Braisa continued with him, Almanas, if Reuven said to the seller that I'm only buying this on condition that I'll receive a second deed from the Reish Glusa, Kaifanes Reish Glusa Limka, then we will force the Reish Glusa to write such a deed. And as Rashi says, in Kaifan Reish Glusa, Lachsav Lichtav Shtar Mechira, Shu Machu Lekech. However, Vim Amalei Lekech, Lemecha Almanas Yichdli Reish Glusa, Bishmai Lashmi, Shtar Acher, then Kaifan Reish Glusa Limka. Keep in mind that as we explained, there is no question that Reuven certainly owns this Sada or this bias that he bought from Shimon. However, the only question is, would he be able to receive a second shtar and a second deed from the Reish Glusa in order to prove that he actually owns the Sada? And the Gemara now continues and will bring its raya against the Bnei Marava, as Arama, we just stated in the Braisa, based on the explanation of Rav Sheshes, that Lekech Sada B'Shem Reish Glusa in Kaifanes Reish Glusa Limka, and Michlal the Mikna Kanulei, that even though Shimon did not know who the real buyer was, Reuven told Shimon that the real buyer is the Reish Glusa, even so, certainly Shimon was makdil the Sada to Reuven, and Reuven is considered the actual owner, and the Gemara therefore asks, Lema Plika the Bnei Marava, let us say that this price is against the Bnei Marava, the Amri, as they stated, that since the seller of the wheat did not know who the actual purchaser was, then it should not be a valid sale. And L'chari L'fidu Bnei Marava, that how could it be that we consider Reuven the actual purchaser if Shimon did not have intent to sell this to Reuven, and his intent was to sell this to the Reish Glusa? The Gemara answers, Ima Shimha Kasha, if it would only be based on this question, this would not be shver, as could go in the idea of Balsada by the Inlusadi. While it's true that Reuven told Shimon that I want you to write the deed for the Reish Glusa, that was because he didn't want anyone to know that he actually was buying the Sada, and he wanted people to be scared and they shouldn't come with any tainus against the Sada. But certainly Reuven actually made a statement to the Edom as well as to the seller, and he actually told them that you should know I'm really buying it on my behalf, but I want the shtar and I want the deed to be written in the name of Reish Glusa in order that people should be scared to come and be Ma'ara on the Sada. And therefore Shimon actually knew that the ultimate purchaser was Reuven, and therefore it is a valid sale even according to the Bnei Marava. And the Shita Megubetzes brings down from the Rosh that certainly it must be a case where they told the Edom, as if the Edom didn't know, then how do we actually know that this Sada actually belongs to Reuven and doesn't belong to the Reish Glusa? And Ayin and Taisis at the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Min Aleph, where Taisis asks that if the Edom know, then why do we need the Reish Glusa to write another deed? Let the Edom go and write another Shtar and now write that Reuven bought his sada from Shimon, and it wasn't the Reish Galusa's sada l'chatchila. And as Taisa states, Teba imkein, amait tzarech litchak as Reish Galusa sheyichtav leishtar, yichtav lo edim, kivin sheyoidim shu kain la'atmai. And Taisa answers, v'yesh loimakagoyim, d'leil bo edim, l'michtav leishtar achrina, that the edim don't want to write another shtar for Reuven, as it would make it seem that they are edim sheker, since they are conflicting documents that they signed. And therefore, Reuven specifically wants that the Reish Galusa should write another deed for him in order to be able to have a shtar raya that he actually owns this property. And the question is, can we force the Reish Galusa to write another deed? Gemara continues, and instead of asking a question, there will be a raya against the Bnei Merava, the Gemara will now ask a question which will show that the pshat of Rav Sheshes cannot be pshat in this braisa, as the Gemara is, Ela Ema Sefer. Let us see the Sefer of this braisa that the braisa stated, I'm going to ask, if Reuven says to Shimon that I'm making condition that I'm buying this for the Reish Galusa on condition that the Reish Galusa writes me another deed, then we do force the Reish Galusa to go and write another deed. And the Gemara is, Amai, then how can you force the Reish Galusa to write another deed? Well, clearly the Reish Galusa wasn't a party to this transaction and therefore didn't agree to anything. And Vilema Reish Galusa, and the Reish Galusa should be able to tell Reuven, that I don't need your covered and your respect. And as Rashi says, that you said that I'm the ultimate buyer in order to create fear for people that they shouldn't come and be ma'ara on your sada, and I also don't need your embarrassment. And as Rashi says, that you're now coming and you are trying to force me against my will to write a deed, and that will be an embarrassment, as it's embarrassing for a person to have to get to a point that they have to sell their fields, and it looks like I'm actually selling a field, even though it's true that I never really owned this field. Therefore, how could you, Rav Sheshes, explain that the Bryce is talking about such a scenario if in this case the Reish Galusa did not acquiesce to the sale, and the Reish Galusa was not a party to this Tanai, and how could we force the Reish Galusa to write a second deed? Because of this question, Elam Abaya, therefore Abaya explains, Hachi Kama, that this is actually a pshat in the Braisa, and Lefi Abaya, the case of the Braisa starts off exactly as Rav Sheshes stated, that Lekech Sada B'Shem Chaveh Reish Galusa, if Reuven buys a Sada from his friend Shimon, and he tells him that he's buying it in the name of his friend, who is the Reish Galusa, and therefore he wants the deed to be written to the Reish Galusa. And once again, the reason why Reuven is doing so is because he wants people to think that the Reish Galusa purchased this Sada, and therefore they won't be Ma'ara on the Sada. And we continue on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and when the Braisa stated, in Kaifen Oysa Limka, originally Rav Sheshes said that the pronoun of Oysai is going on the Reish Galusa. However, Abaye explains that when it says, in Kaifen Oysa Limka, the pronoun of Oysai is actually referring to the seller, and we read the Braisa as if it says, in Kaifen Samicha Limka Zimna Achriti, Reuven can now not come to the seller and tell him that he wants him to write another deed for him. Reuven tells Shimon that although you wrote me a deed that said that you, Shimon, sold this Sada to the Reish Galusa, I now want you to write a deed that you, Shimon, sold this Sada to me, to Reuven, and this way I'll have a raya that I actually own this Sada. And the reason why you can't force the seller to do so is although this is actually what occurred, and as we explained beforehand, that Reuven actually told the seller as well as the Edim that he's really buying it on his own behalf, and he just wanted him to write the deed on the name of the Reish Galusa for protection purposes. However, Shimon has a tiny to Reuven that I don't want there to be multiple stories and multiple deeds out there, as people will think that I'm actually a fraud and I'm selling a sada multiple times. And Abaye continues to explain the sefer de Braisa, v'im amalei almanas, if Reuven lechatchila told Shimon that I want you to write the deed to the Reish Galusa, but ultimately I also want a second deed, that you'll write that you sold me this sada directly, and therefore I'll have a second deed and I'll be able to bring a proof that I own the sada and the Reish Galusa never owned the sada, and this way the Yarshim of the Reish Galusa cannot come and claim the sada from me. So in that case, since he made the condition with the seller, certainly in that case you would force the Meicha to write a second deed. And the Gemara will now continue and explain the Braisa according to the words of Abaye, as the Gemara states, Amma, that we just learned in the Braisa according to the way that Abaye explained the Braisa, Halakeh Sada B'Shem Chaveiroi, that if Reuven was purchasing a Sada from Shimon and he said that it's in the name of his friend Reish Galusa, in Kaifas HaMeicha Limka Zimna Achrita, that Reuven cannot force Shimon to write another deed for him. And the Gemara asks, Pshita, that L'Chari, that's Pashut. And the Gemara says, Ma'arotema Matzi Amalei, that you may think that maybe Reuven could say to Shimon, Maydi Adat Anol Nafshei Shekinla, that you really knew that I'm buying this Sada for myself because I actually said this in front of Edim and in front of you, and Barchaya Ba'alma Hu Dekabina, and the only reason why I was saying that I'm buying it for the Reish Galusa was in order to create asset protection for myself, Vizuzu Bichti Leishadina, and certainly you understood that I wouldn't go and throw away my money and pay you for the Sada, and then ultimately have a risk that the Yarshim of the Reish Galusa will come and take the the sada away from me, and therefore you could have understood that I'm going to need a second deed, and therefore you could have understood that on a date to the kasadli shtar achrina, that was certainly done on condition that you're going to write me a second deed, and therefore maybe there would be a din of kaifu and almi this time, and maybe Reuven could force Shimon to write another deed, and kamash malon, and therefore the Brisa teaches us that Shimon could tell Reuven that I don't want to write another deed to you, as I don't want people to think that I defrauded anyone, and I wrote two deeds on one property, the amalei, because Shimon says to Reuven, in yoni of the lecha bahada who desavantele b'shmei v'yistercha shtar achrina. Now, though it's true that you actually said specifically that you're buying it for yourself, and you're just telling me to write the deed for the resh glusa for asset protection purposes, but I thought that you didn't want me to write you another deed, and I thought that you already worked it out with the resh glusa that you're going to do this, and then the resh glusa was going to be the one to write you another deed, and therefore I don't want to have the responsibility of writing the second deed. And kamash one, that since Reuven did not make this tonight with Shimon, therefore it is a valid taina. And the Gemara continues to explain the sefer according to the way that Rabbi explained the sefer. And once again, the Gemara says pshita. In this case, certainly is pashut that since Reuven told Shimon at the time of the purchase that I'm going to want you to write a second deed, so it's pashut that Shimon will have to write a second deed. And the Gemara answers late tzricha that in a chenami, the case of the brisa was not simply a case where Reuven specifically said to Shimon that I'm making condition that I'm buying this sada from you, and you have to write one deed to the resh glusa, and then you're required to write a second deed to me, and certainly that would be pashut. But the case of the brisa was the amalul sadi that Reuven said to the edim kamedi day in front of the seller chazir de shtar achrina kamina, that you should know that I'm going to want a second deed in order to prove that I actually bought this property for myself. And marotema matzi amalei amin shtar mehechte kashaklus b'shmei kamid. And you may think that Shimon could say that although you said this to the edim, I thought that you meant that you will go to the resh glusa and the resh glusa will give you this deed, and I didn't realize that you wanted a deed directly from me. Kamash one, and therefore the brisa teaches us the amalei that Reuven says to Shimon, lachi tarchi v'amalu leidum kamach. That's why I was matriach myself and I said this statement to the edim in front of you, as the minachu de kabina, as I wanted this second deed from you and not from the resh glusa, and therefore the brisa teaches us that Shimon will have to write a second deed to Reuven. And the Gemara continues, Rav Kahana yav zuzak kisna. Rav Kahana was buying flax and he gave money to Reuven in order to acquire the flax. And Taisa states, Hashra Salkadaitach, that right now the Gemara is having an is the Ari de Moshech Nami ubekodim ba'amu da'avigabei, that the flax was be'en, and Rav Kahana went and was Meshech the flax, and therefore was already claiming the flax, and Reuven is holding the flax on behalf of Rav Kahana. The flax was a bekodim by Reuven, but really Rav Kahana owned the flax, a yaika kisna, and then the flax went up in value and appreciated, and Reuven wanting to help Rav Kahana, zavnim Rav Vasa the kisna, so Reuven, who was the original owner of the flax, went and sold the flax to Shimon. And let us say that originally Rav Kahana bought it for $1,000, and now Shimon sold the flax for $2,000. And Reuven certainly wanted to give this money to Rav Kahana, as he did it on Rav Kahana's behalf. But also coming to Rav Kahana went and asked a shayla to Rav of Malay, and Rav Kahana asked Rav, Ma Avid, what should I do? Ezel Ishkozuze, could I go and take the full $2,000, which includes my principal, which was the tefuah, as well as its profits? Or what do you say that this is mechse karibis, as certainly it's not mamish ribis, because the money was not a loan? But the maisa, there are many times that Rabbanan asked something because it's mechse karibis, even in a case where it's done derech mechach memkar. And the Gemara tells us, Amalei, so Rav responded to Rav Kahana, kikazavni amri hai kista dekanu zilshkel, that if at the time that Reuven sold the flax to Shimon, he told him that this is the flax that belongs to Rav Kahana, then certainly since the buyer knew whose flax it was, therefore it's as if Shimon bought it directly from you, and therefore, of course, you're allowed to keep the profits, as it was considered a regular sale, v'iloi loistishkal. However, if at the time of the sale, Reuven did not tell Shimon that this flax belongs to Rav Kahana, then you're not allowed to take the money, as it's mechsek ribis. And Gemara continues, Kaman, who is Rebbe's psak going like? It seems that he's going kibnei marava, the amri that they stated, miyodiyah lebal chitin, shiyakna chitin lebal mois, that there's a svara, that when someone's buying something, that he only has kavana, and he only has das, to be makler the item to the person that he thinks is buying this item, and not necessarily to the person that actually owns the item. And therefore, in our case, where Reuven seems to be the seller of the flax, therefore Shimon's intent was to buy this item from Reuven, and therefore when he gave money to Reuven, he meant that Reuven should keep this money, and he didn't mean that Rav Kahana should get this money. Therefore, Reuven owns this money, and now when Reuven will give this money to Shimon, so originally Reuven received $1,000, and now Reuven's giving an extra $1,000 to Rav Kahana, and therefore it's mechsek ribis. And keep in mind that the Gemara states stating that it doesn't understand Rav Shita according to the Shita of Rabbi Echron and Rav Shmuel Bar Sasati that we have in Daf Kuf Beis and Beis, as Lefi them, even though the buyer did not actually know who the actual owner of the flax was, but Lemaisa, his kavana, his intent, is to go and give his money to whoever the flax belongs to, and therefore, this was a regular transaction, and even though Shimon delivered money to Reuven, and then Reuven delivered this money to Rav Kana, that's not going to be Mechzik Ribis, as Lemaisa, we look at it as if Reuven is representative of Rav Kana, and therefore we look at it as a regular transaction, and as if the money went directly from Shimon to Rav Kana, and therefore, of course, there's no problem of Ribis. And the Gemara continues, Otu Miyar Rav Kana above the Shokel Tamni, that even if you're going to say the Svar of the Bnei Merava, we still can't say that it is considered a case of Ribis, because Rav Kana did not give $1,000 to Reuven and ultimately got back $2,000, as Lemaisa Rav Kana made a Meshicha on the flax, and therefore he owned the flax, and as Rashi says, wherever the flax is, it already belonged to Rav Kana, and Kisim Melu Diaika, and Rav Kana's flax went up in value and appreciated in value, and therefore Migzul Gazlu, really Reuven had no right to go and sell the flax of Rav Kana, and at the time that Reuven sold the flax of Rav Kana, he's considered a Gazlan, Vitnan, and we learned that Daf Tzadik Gimel Beis, Klal Gazlan, and Mishlam and Kishas Agzela, and therefore at the time of Gzela, it was worth $2,000, and Reuven stole the flax of Rav Kana at that moment, and therefore Reuven's chayiv to give Rav Kana $2,000, and therefore it should not be a problem of Ribis either, and how could Rav say, even according to the Shita of Bnei Merava, that this is a case of Ribis, and therefore Rav Kana can't take the $2,000. And the Gemara continues, Amri, that we explained that the case of Rav Kana is not as we thought. Rav Kana was already coining the flax as he did Meshicha, as in that case, certainly the din will be that this is not a problem of Ribis, even according to Bnei Merava, and the din of Rav has nothing to do with the Bnei Merava. And the Gemara explains that the din of Rav was Hosama Monavoi, that the case of Rav Kana was in the case of a forward contract, and Rav Kana went over to Reuven and he made a deal that I'm going to give you $1,000 today. You will have to deliver me $1,000 worth of flax at today's pricing, but I want it delivered at a later point, which is called a forward contract. And at this point, Reuven didn't even own the flax and he couldn't even make the delivery to Rav Kana. And therefore, certainly Rav Kana did not make a Meshicha on the flax. And the Gemara therefore explains, Rav lo tamei, and Rav is going to say, the Amar Rav, because Rav teaches us in Bar Metzia, Oisin Amon of Epirus, Fein Oisin Amon of Bedomim, that although in a standard case of a forward contract, it looks like a problem of Ribis. As for example, if Rav Kana gave $1,000 for flax, and at that point flax was selling for $1 a pound, and then when Reuven delivers the flax, flax is selling for $2 a pound, although it was done B'derech Mekach Memka, but it definitely seems like Rav Kana was giving money as a loan to Reuven, and then Reuven was giving him the benefit and giving him extra money because he had time to pay Rav Kana. However, Rav teaches us that as long as when Reuven pays Rav Kana, he actually gives him the flax, so since at the point when they made the deal, flax was actually worth $1 per pound, and at that moment, if Reuven would have taken that $1,000 that he received from Rav Kana, and he would have gone to the marketplace, he could have bought 1,000 pounds of flax with that $1,000. Therefore, at this point, when he goes and pays Rav Kana with flax, then that's not a problem of Ribis. However, Rav was telling Rav Kana that since in our case, you weren't getting your flax, and ultimately, he sold the flax, and he was giving you the $2,000. Therefore, that is a problem of Mechzik Ribis, and you're not allowed to do that, and therefore, you can't take the full $2,000. And Rav Kana was only able to collect from Reuven his initial $1,000 that he gave to Reuven. And before we continue with the next Mishnah, which will discuss the din of Hashem Gzeilais, let us read the Psukim in Pashat Vayikra, as well as Pashat Bamidbar, as the Pasuk states, Nefesh kisechto molo mol b'Hashem, v'chichesh b'amisa, b'pekadon b'sum s'yad, oy b'gozol oy osha kesamisa, oy b'tza aveda v'chichesh b'o, v'nish b'al sheka, al achaz mikol ashi yasa, odom lachtoy b'hena, after he makes a shvu al sheka, he is moido, and the Pasuk then tells us, v'heshev es gzeila she gozol, oy osha kesa oshak, oy sa pekadon ashe hafkot itoy, oy sa aveda she motzo, oy mikol ashi shavol av l'sheka, v'shilam oy sa bereshoy, v'chamishisa yosef lo av l'asher v'lo yitnenu b'yay mashmasoy, and the Pasuk then tells us, v'es ha-shama yovil ha-shem, ayel tom min ha-tzoyin, etc. And the Pesukim in Pashpa Midbar states, isha isha ki yasu mikol chatoi sa adam limo mo ba-shem, v'ashma nefesh ha-hi, v'zvadu z'chatos ma sha-osu, v'heshev es ha-shama bereshoy, v'chamishisa yosef lo av, v'nos la sha-osham loy, v'in la ish goya lo ha-shava ha-osham lo av, ha-osham ha-mush la-shem la-koyim, mo-vad el ha-kapurim, ha-shi-chap by olav. And the Pesukim teach us that if Reuven stole at least the pruta from Shimon, and then Reuven swore falsely to Shimon that he didn't steal this money, and then Reuven was moider that he actually stole the money, then Reuven will be chayiv to pay a keren v'chaymish, and he'll have to pay a pruta plus 25%, and Reuven will also be chayiv to bring a carbon called an Hashem Gzeilos. And as we will see, see the only time that Reuven can bring the Asham Gzelos is only once Reuven already returned the Keren and the principal amount they stole from Shimon back to Shimon, but prior to that point he can't bring the Asham Gzelos and he would not be able to have a full kapara. And also keep in mind that the only time that there's a chiyuv for Asham Gzelos and there's a chiyuv of Keren v'chaymish is only if Reuven is actually moida that he was nishba l'sheka. But if Edom come to Bezin and they say that Reuven was nishba l'sheka, then Reuven will be chayv to pay Keren to Shimon, but he will not be chayv to pay the chaymish, and he will not be chayv to bring an Asham Gzelos. Our Mishnah will discuss a case of a pruta. That Taisi says that the case must be where Reuven swore on his own, as it can't be talking about a case where Bezin required him to make a shvua. The im biz mashvian el b'tainis shtei kesef aydash shavu pruta, that the only time Bezin forces someone to make a shvua is only when there was a tiny of shtei kesef and he was made of mixas and he was made of only shavu pruta. And even though Reuven made the shvua on his own accord and then he was made, Reuven will be chayav to pay a karen v'chaymish and he'll also be chayav to bring an asham gzeilos. And then Taisa says inami, or we could say mari b'tainis shtei kesef v'haydlo shavu pruta, that the case was where Reuven was forced to make the shvua from Bezin, but the end result was that Reuven was made that he lied about one pruta, and that is the case of our Mishnah. And our Mishnah begins at Gozel Chaver Shavu Pruta. If Reuven stole a Shavu Pruta from Shimon, v'nishbalai, and then Reuven swore falsely to Shimon, and Reuven then was moida that he lied and he really owes this money to Shimon, then he has to bring the Keren to Shimon, even if he has to travel to Madai, and even though Madai is very far away and it will be a very expensive trip, and that will even cost more than the Pruta that he owes to Shimon. And Rashi says that we learned this from the Pasuk in Vayikra that states, and in order for Reuven to have a kapara, he has to return the money directly to Shimon. This din of our Mishnah is a special din that's relevant to the case of Asham Gzelos, as in a case where Reuven steals money from Shimon and doesn't swear falsely, then Reuven has a chiv to pay back the money to Shimon, as the Pasuk says, however, he wouldn't have a responsibility to go and bring that money to Shimon wherever he is, and he can actually just hold on to the money and, for example, send a message to Shimon that he owes him this money, and whenever Shimon comes to collect it, Shimon will be able to collect it. And some Rishonim hold that Reuven wouldn't even have a responsibility to send a message to Shimon. And the Mishnah continues, that when Reuven is delivering this money to Shimon, he can't give it to Shimon's son or to Shimon's shliach. And Rashi says that if Reuven does so, that if an oinus will happen and Shimon's son or Shimon's shliach loses the money, then Reuven will still have a chiyuv lahachzer and a chiyuv hashava. As it's not considered hashava until Reuven delivers it directly to Shimon's hands, or he gives it to his own shliach, and his shliach, who is his own representative, and shluchi shel adam kamaisai, will go and deliver it to Shimon. However, the Gemara tells us that Reuven can give the money to a shliach bezin, and Rashi says that this is only a din rabbanon, as takantu of rabbanon mepteit takaz hashavim, as this was a takana that rabbanon made in order to incentivize people to do tshuva, and shalei nechayv lezel hoitzim mana by tzaras haderech, as otherwise people will be disincentivized to do tshuva, as they will know that they have to take even a pruta and go travel a very far distance in order to make a proper hashava, and they will withhold from doing tshuva. And Ayin Taitz Dio Maslav and Nesil Shlich Bezin, they bring down the Pshat Rashi, and he says, Mashma Mate Purushai, the Nesil Shlich Bezin, then Ruby gives it to Shlich Bezin, Vushaymer Biyadai, and then the Shlich Bezin guards the money at Yavah Hanigzol until Shimon comes and collects the money. And Ayin Taitz, who asks a few questions of Rashi, and therefore Taitz explains what our Gemara means when it says that Reuven can give the money to Shliach Bezin, it means that the Shliach Bezin will now go and travel to bring this money to Shimon. And the Chiddush is that if something happens and the Shliach Bezin loses this money while he's traveling to Shimon, then Reuven would not have to make restitution, and Reuven was already mekayim his chiv hashava by giving it to the Shliach Bezin. And the Mishnah continues, v'mes, and if Shimon dies, yachzir liyorshav, then Reuven has a responsibility to return this money to Shimon's yorshim. And Taisus points out, v'mes yachzir lebanav, nira da'as lashmin and da'afilu liyorshim yodach lemodai, that even for the Yorshim of Shimon, Reuven has a responsibility to even travel to Madai to return the money. Inami aslamema de inchilip bin shanigzel kayim bein shumes, that there is no difference between if Shimon is alive or if Shimon dies, in karen chaymish v'asham, regarding the din of karen chaymish and asham, that Reuven will be chayiv. Kehechad yesh chilip begazlin bein hu lebanav, that we know there is a chilip between a gazlin, between he himself or his child, the banav ein misham chaymish al gezal v'yam, kamash blan de inigzel ein chilip, as even though benegei a gazlin is the difference between the gazlin himself and his heirs. However, b'negei nigzel there is no chiluk, and the gazlan is required to pay the karen v'chaymish as well as bring a carbon asham gzelos. And the Rashi points out, istrich lashminon, and the chiddush of the Mishnah is the And it says specifically that you have to give it back to the person that you stole from. And you can't bring Yasham Zelos until you return the Karen to the Yarshim. And Ayinim Iri, who brings a kula, and he says that if Shimon dies and some of the Yarshim are in Modai and some of the Yarshim are in Reuven's town, then Reuven could go and give the money to the Yarshim down in his town, and he doesn't have to go and travel all the way to Modai. And the Mishnah will now continue and bring us three different cases where the din will be that Reuven will not have to bring the money to Modai, and the reason is because the only responsibility of Reuven to bring the money to Modai is only for the actual principal and not for the chaimish. And as the Mishnah states, nasalayas the karen, if Reuven already gave the karen and the principal to Shimon, v'leinasalayas the chaimish, but he didn't yet pay the chaimish, or machalay al karen, or Shimon was meichel Reuven for the karen, v'leinachalay al chaimish, but Shimon was not meichel Reuven for the chaimish, or machalay al zev al zeh, chutz bipachashar pruta bekaren, or Shimon was meichel Reuven for the entire chaimish, as well as for most of the karen, aside for an amount that's less than a shar pruta, then in all those cases, since Reuven doesn't owe karen to Shimon, or he owes pachas mishar pruta of karen to Shimon, in all those cases, Reuven doesn't have to run to Modai in order to return a chaimish or to return less than a shar pruta to Shimon. And Rashi points out that certainly we're talking about a case where Reuven stole this money and then he was nishba l'sheka and then he was moida, and only after that point was Shimon meichel the karen, as certainly there is never a chiyav of chaimish unless there was a shvua and haida. And the Mishnah now continues and brings three other cases, and in these cases the dinim will be that tzarech leilach achrav, as the Mishnah states, nasleis a chaimish v'lei nasleis a karen, if Reuven already paid back the fifth, but he didn't pay back the principal, or machlei al chaimish v'lei machlei al karen, or Shimon was meichel Reuven for paying the chaimish, but it wasn't meichel for paying the karen, or machlei al zev al zeh chutz mishar pruta b'karen, or if Shimon was meichel Reuven for paying the karen as well as the chaimish aside for a pruta, in all these cases, since Reuven owes at least a pruta of karen to Shimon, tzarech leilach achrav, so Reuven will still be obligated to go and travel to Shimon to deliver that pruta. And the Shita Mekubetzes brings down from Rabbeinu Yonason that in these three cases, the Mishnah is going with the style of Zuvein Tzarech Lemezuk Tani, that even in a case where Reuven paid the chaimish to Shimon and he still owes him the karen, then Reuven has to go and pay the karen to Shimon. But the Mishnah continues, the kolshkein b'shalei nasan leklum, and certainly in a case where Reuven did not pay Shimon any part of the chaimish because Shimon was meichel the entire chaimish, kolshkein v'kolshkein shetzarech leilach l'madai l'frei le'guf k'zei lasai, then certainly Reuven has to travel to Madai to pay him at least his principal. And in the third case, v'kolshkein imloi chosa klum m'maynoi k'goin shemachle al shneim, and certainly in a case where Shimon was meichel Reuven not only for the chaimish but also to the karen, chutz mishar pruta b'karen, tzarech l'treyach v'leilach achrav l'madai, that certainly Reuven has an obligation to deliver the pruta to Madai. And the Mishnah continues that let's say Reuven stole $80 from Shimon and then he made a shvua and then he was moida, then certainly at that point Reuven's chayv to pay Shimon $100, as he has to pay him the karen of $80 and add on 25%, and therefore he has to add on $20. The Mishnah will teach us that at this point we look at the chaimish as if there's a karen payment of $20 that has to be made, and therefore nasleis is a karen if Reuven goes and pays the $80 back to Shimon. However, v'nishbaloi al chaimish, he swears to Shimon that I don't owe you the chaimish because I already paid you that $20. And then once again, Reuven is moider that he lied and he swore falsely. And we continue on Afkuf Gemara Beis, and the Gemara states, Harezu Mishalim Chaimish al Chaimish Ad Shismayit a Karen Mishar Pruta, that we look at it as if Reuven swore falsely regarding $20 of Karen, and therefore at this point, Reuven will be chayiv to pay to Shimon an extra $5, and he'll have to pay him $25. And the Mishnah continues that the same din would apply if Reuven actually pays the $20 that he owes to Shimon, and then afterwards he swears falsely about the $5 of chaimish that he owes to Shimon, then once again Reuven will have to pay another chaimish on the $20, and he'll have to pay another $1.25, and this cheshbon will continue until the amount of the chaimish that he swore about will be less than a shar pruta, as of course at that point you won't be chayav to pay an additional chaimish. And as Rashi says, v'chin la'olam ad she'yismayit ha'karen shel chaimish shelo'ich b'lo'i shar pruta, as he was not chayav in an amount that's valued as shar pruta. And the Mishnah continues that although we've stated these dinim b'negei someone that stole, and this asham is called asham gzeilos, however these dinim are applicable by a shoyma as well, the chaim begodin, and the same would be by begodin where Reuven has a begodin from Shimon and then he swore falsely that he doesn't have it, and then he's moida shenema, as the pasuk says, b'begodin ibesumisad ibegazel iasha kasamisai imotzaveda v'chichishba v'nishbal shaka harezim shalom karen v'chaimish v'asham. And in all cases where Reuven swore falsely and then is moida, he'll be chayiv to pay for the principal as well as a 25% surcharge, and he will also be chayiv to bring a carbon asham gzeilos. And Rashi explains when the pasuk says oya osha kasamisai is referring to schas socher and is referring to wages for a worker, and sumasad is referring to halva and referring to a loan. And the Gemara begins nishbaloi in loy nishbaloi loy, that the only time that there's a responsibility for Reuven to deliver the karen to the original owner and to Shimon is only when he made a shvua and he swore falsely. However, if he didn't swear, then there was no obligation to bring the money to Madai. And money, who is on Mishnah going like loy Rab Tafin v'loy Rab Akiva? It doesn't seem to be going like Rab Tafin or Rab Akiva. At the time, we have a Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos that teaches us gozel echad mechamisha ve'en yodea me'ezim mehen v'chol echad ima oisi gozel minich gazel b'neim mistalik div Rab Tafin. And the Havmina of the Gemara is that this Mishnah is talking about a scenario where Reuven stole money, and it doesn't make a difference if Reuven swore l'sheker or if he didn't swear l'sheker, and the same machlik as Rab Tafin and Rab Akiva would apply. And Rab Tafin holds that if Reuven stole money from five different people and he's unsure from which one he stole it from, and each one tainis that they were the ones who were the victim and they were stolen from, the din is that Reuven could take the amount of money they stole and place it between them, and this would be a way for him to do hashava of the gzela. And as Rashi says, minich gzela v'lo boilam tu liyode, and he doesn't have to make sure that it gets to the person's hands. V'sag b'niach l'fanav sharei ha'baylim shamu, as all of the baylim are over there. However, Rabbi Kiva Imer, Rabbi Kiva argues on top, and he says leizuderach metziyasa midei avera, that this is not a way that you could remove yourself from the avera. Actually, shalom gzela cholach v'echad, and you have to return the amount that he stole to each individual. And for example, the fear of Rabbi Kiva, if Reuven stole $100 from one of these five people, he would actually have to pay $100 to each person, and he would be out $500. And the Gemara explains, money who is our Mishnah, Rab Tafin, if our Mishnah is going according to Rab Tafin, but afagav di yishtabel om maniach gzele beinem mistalik, that even though Reuven made a shvua, this Mishnah tells us that Rab Tafin says you could place the gzele beinem and you yotzi yichiv hashava, and even in a case where Reuven made a shvua, there is no chiv for Reuven to return the karen to the actual owner. E Rab Akiva, and if our Mishnah is going like Rab Akiva, afagav di yishtabel om maniach gzele beinem mistalik, that it seems from this Mishnah that it doesn't make a difference if Reuven made a shvua, even if Reuven didn't make a shvua, that Reuven's chayiv to pay the $100 back to each one that he potentially stole from, and therefore he's chayiv to pay $500. And you see that even without making a shvua, there's still a chiyuv of hashava, and the gazlan has to make sure to return the money that he stole to the nigzal's hand. And the Gemara answers, "Lo ilam Rabbi Kiva, he really our Mishnah is going according to Shita Rabbi Kiva, and our Havamina that we said that this Mishnah is going in a case where Reuven made a shvua, or even where Reuven did not make a shvua, is incorrect, as Bechikam Rabbi Kiva Achi Yisham Gzeil L'chol Achav Echad, where Rabbi Kiva says din that Reuven is chayiv to pay this money back to each individual. That is only Hechdi Shtabahu Dekama. It's only where Reuven made a shvua and he swore falsely. However, in a chenami, in a case where Reuven did not swear falsely, then Reuven would not have to make a hashava L'chol Achav Echad, and there would be no obligation for Reuven to return the money they stole to the Nigzal's hands. And Rashi points out that really the Gemara at this point could have responded that our Mishnah is going according to Shita Rab Tafin, and when Rab Tafin stated in the Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos Minich Zela B'nei Mistalik, that is only talking about a case where Reuven did not swear falsely. However, in a chenami, in a case where he swore falsely, then you would have to return it to the hands of the Nigzal. And Rashi explains that the reason why the Gemara wanted to say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva is based on the Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin on that Peivavim Alf that says all Stamis go according to Rabbi Kiva, and as we know, Stam Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, which is the Talmud Rabbi Kiva, and the same is Benegeya Stam Sefer Sifri, etc., that they're going according to Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. And that's why the Gemara would rather say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva and not like Rabbi Tafin. And the Gemara continues and explains that now that we said that Rabbi Kiva only said his din once Reuven swore falsely and then he was Maida, and only then is there a chiyah for him to actually return the Gzela to the hands of the Nigzal. So my timer, what is the Makar, the Amakra, as the Pasuk says, L'asher Uloi Tnenu B'yayim HaShmasai, that Reuven has an obligation to pay back the money to Shimon if it was in the case of an Hashem Gzela, and only in a case where he swore falsely and then it was Maida. And the Gemara continues, Rab Tafin, and Rab Tafin, who argues Rab Kiva, says, Afagav Dishtaba, that even though Reuven swore falsely, of Rabbanan Takanta, that in a chenami, the Midraisa, really Reuven has to return the money directly to the Nigzal. However, Rabbanan made a Takana, and as Rashi says, Takana Sashavim, the Hachad Misafkale, Tiskalu Bemaniach, and over here, where it is a suffix as to who he owes the money to, therefore they said they allowed to leave it in front of them. Ketani, the other Takana is Gabi Geisel Venish Babahoida, Vaina Nigzal. That the Rabbanan already made takon shoshavim, that you don't have to return it directly to the hand of the owner, and instead you could give it to shliach bezin. As we mentioned on Amud Aleph, and similarly, the Rabbanan made takon shoshavim in a case where Reuven stole money and he's not sure from whom he stole it, that he doesn't have to repay the money to all of them. As in that case, he won't do tshuva, as it will be too expensive, as he only stole $100, and now it will be mechayiv to pay $500, and therefore Rab Tafin holds hold that the Rabbanan said Minich Gazel Binayim Umistalik, and Ayin Tap Tesed Amid, he says the Perakam Afkin Muki Law, the Lav Dafka Binayim, the Shakal Lukulu, that is Lav Dafka, you place it between them, and any of them could take it. Elu Yaniach, as she aspired of a Miyam Abailim, that Reuven actually holds on to this money until they're able to clarify and bring Rias who the owner of the money is. And as the Gemara continues, the Tanya has been learned to the Rias, Rabbi Lazar Tzadok Oimet, Takana Gadayla Hiskinu, that it was a great Takana which went against Din de Raisa, that the Rabbanan was Misakin, Shim Hoysa Itza, Yisir Ala Karen, Mishalim Karen Vachemish Lebezin, Umeve Hashem, and Miskapaloi. If we would require Reuven to travel to Modai in order to bring a Pruta to Shimon, then the Itza and the expense of the trip would be greater than the amount that he stole, and therefore the Rabbanan made a Takana that Reuven could instead go and deposit this money with Bezdin, and he would be Yotze his Chiyav Hashava, and then he'd be able to go and bring his Hashem Gezelais. Therefore, in our case as well, we would say it is a Takana Shashavim. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Kiva, that certainly Rabbi Kiva has to agree with this Takana Gedoyla, as Lemaisa we said that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva, and our Mishnah we saw, we allowed Reuven to deposit the Karen V'chaymish with the Shliach Bezdin. And if so, why in our case did Rabbi Kiva say, Loizu Derech Moitziyasim De'Avera, Achi Shalom Gzeil L'cholach Ve'echad, and L'chari we should have a Takana Shashavim? And the Gemara explains, Ki Avra Rabbanan Takanta Hechad Yodol Man Gazlei, the Kamahadlei Memoin L'mari, that the only time that we make a Takana Shashavim is only where we know who Reuven stole from, just that the expenses are too much, and L'maisa, ultimately, the money will get back to the rightful owner. However, Gazel Echad Mechamisha, L'yodol Man Gazlei, L'yodol Memoin L'mari, L'Avra Rabbanan Takanta, in the case where Reuven stole money from one person out of five, and we're not sure who he stole from, so in that case, even if Reuven would deposit the money into Bezin or hold on to the money, the actual owner is not getting back his money, and therefore Rabbi Kiva said we didn't make a such a takana, and there's a responsibility for Reuven to go and pay each individual in order to be yotze his chiyav hashava and then be able to bring his hasham gzeilos. And the Gemara continues, Moser Rav Huna Bar Behuda. Rav Huna Bar Behuda asks a question: that how can you explain that the case in the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos is talking about a case where Reuven made a shvuah and then was moida, but l'maisa we have another brayse that states Amar Rav Shimon Lazer. Rav Shimon Lazer states Lo'nechku Rav Tafan Rav Kiva. Rav Tafan Rav Kiva were not chaylik. Ashalokach Echam Mechamisha. Reuven bought an item from one of five people, Ve'ini Yudeim Eizim and Lokach, and he's not certain from whom he bought it, and therefore he's not certain who he should pay. Shemniach Tamei Mekach Beinei Mustalik. That certainly even Rabbi Kiva would agree that all Reuven would have to do is take the money that he owes for this transaction and place it between them, and then they'll have to bring a raya who the money belongs to. However, Al Manaklu, where's the machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tafan? Shegozel Echam Mechamisha Bnei Adam, where Reuven stole money from one of five people, Ve'ini Yudeim Eizim and Gozel, and we're uncertain who he stole from. Shrab Tafan Aim Menich to make Zela B'nei Mistalik Rabbi Kiva Aim Inlay Takana as she Shalom Zela Chol Echav Echad. And the Gemara therefore is V'Yisach Adachtu D'Shtabo, if you're going to say the Machlekes Rabbi Tafan Rabbi Kiva is in a case where Reuven made a Shvua Mali Lokach Mali Gozel L'Chari, what's the difference if he bought something or if he stole something? In all cases he swore falsely, and therefore the same Chiv HaShava should apply. And Rashi explains that in the case of a sale, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tafan would not be Chaylik, since there was no Issa done as Reuven did not swear falsely, and therefore the pasuk of Lashehu Loi would not apply, and the like civil Lashehu Loi al b'makom shechata de bayi kapara. However, if the only time that we have the machlekes between Rabbi Tafan and Rabbi Kiva in his case where Reuven made a shvua l'sheka, so l'chayu there should be no difference in the case where Reuven bought something and then swore falsely, or we stole something and swore falsely. In either case, the machlekes between Rabbi Tafan and Rabbi Kiva should apply. And the Gemara continues with another question, va'id masiv Rava, and Rava asked another question from the following brayso, ma'isa b'chassid echad. There was a story with a chassid shalachach b'shtei b'nei adam that he bought an item from one of two people, v'lo yodei me'izim alokach, and he didn't know who to pay, as he didn't know who he bought this item from. Ubalufnei Rav Tafan, and he came in front of Tafan, and Amalei, and he said to him, hanach demei mecha b'neim v'istalik, and balufnei Rav Kiva, Amalei, ein lecha takana atchi tishalam chalach v'echad. And we see that Rav Tafan and Rav Kiva were chaylik, and v'isach gadaitel to mishtaba. And if you're going to say that the only time Rav Kiva and Rav Tafan are actually chaylik is only in a case where the chassid made a shvua l'sheker and then was meida, as if he didn't make a shvua, that even Rav Kiva would be meida to Rav Tafan, that he wouldn't have to return the money to the actual owner. And the Gemara is, chassid mi mishtaba b'shikra, how could it be that we're talking about a chassid and he would actually swear falsely? And the Gemara is, v'chitem in the mishtaba v'hod ha'v chassid, that maybe at the time that he made a shvua, he was actually not a chassid, and that's why he swore falsely, and then he did tshuva and he became a chassid. V'kol hichad amrin ma'isa b'chassid echad. But we know that there's a klal that any time that the Gemara brings down a story from a chassid, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Baloi, it's either talking about Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba or Rabbi Yehuda ben Baloi. And we know Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baloi, chassidim mikarava, they never had a moment where they were not chassidim, and they were always chassidim, and therefore certainly they wouldn't swear falsely. And it must be that this case was a scenario where they didn't swear, and even so, there's machlekes between Rabbi Tafan and Rabbi Kiva. And once again, the Gemara's question questioning that how could you tell me that Rabbi Akiva only stated his din in a case where Reuven made a shvu al hashaka and then was maida, if l'chariot's muchach that Rabbi Akiva said his din in a case where Reuven actually did not swear, and even so he's b'chayiv Reuven to pay l'cholach ve'echad. And once again, we're back to our original question, that l'chariot not mishnah it's mashma, that the only time you have to actually go and make a shava to the actual nigzal is only when you swore falsely and then you're maida. But in a case where the gazlan did not swear falsely, then he would not be mechuyev to go and take the money and the keren and bring it to Shimon b'chol makim shu, and even to bring it to Madai. And because of these questions, therefore the Gemara has no choice but to say that our Mishnah is going according to Shita Reb Tafin. And the Gemara states, Elohim Reb Tafini, really our Mishnah is going like Reb Tafin, Umoid Reb Tafin, Hechad Yishtaba, and the only time there's machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Reb Tafin is only the case where Reuven did not make a shvuah, and in that case Reb Tafin says that Menich to make Zela Beinim Mstalik, and Rabbi Akiva says, In Le Takanat, Shisham Zela Cholachav Echad. However, certainly in the case where the Gazlan actually made a shvuah l'sheka and then was Maida, then Reb Tafin would agree to Rabbi Akiva that In Le Takanat, Shisham Zela Cholachav Echad. And that is why in our Mishnah we stated that the only time that Reuven is responsible to go to Madai and bring the Karen to Shimon is only in the case where Reuven swore falsely and then was Maida. But in a Chanami, if Reuven did not swear falsely, then Reuven would not have such a chiyuv and would not have to take the money to Madai. And the Gemara continues and explains the basis for the machlekes between Reb Tafin and Reb Akiva. And the Gemara states, "My time, what is the reasoning for Reb Akiva? The Amar Krav, because the pasuk says, 'Lashehu lo yitzenu b'yom hashmasai,' and therefore he agrees to the svara that we mentioned before. And Reb Tafin doesn't have a takanas hashavim. And the Gemara asks Reb Akiva, 'Lemaisa, why does Reb Akiva hold that even if Reuven did not swear falsely, then Reuven will be chayiv to make a hashava directly to the nigzal, and he would have to pay l'chol achav echad afakav dali mishtav konis?' And the Gemara explains that in the Chanami midiraisa there was no responsibility to give it back to the original nigzal. However, the Rabbanan said that since you stole this money, therefore we knas you and we require the gazlan to return the money to the nigzal. And if he's not sure who the nigzal is, then he has to return that amount of money to all of the people that he potentially stole from. And let's keep in mind that in the Maisa b'chosid echad, the chosid did not make a shvu l'sheka, and even though it was a case of mecha chomemka and the chosid didn't steal anything, Rabbi Akiva still knas the chosid and he required the chosid to make a payment to both of the potential sellers. And l'chaira, why would this knas be applicable in that case? And the Rabbit explains that even in that case, Rabbi Akiva felt that's the obligation of a buyer to keep track of who he owes money to, and therefore he knas that he have to pay to both of them. And the Gemara continues and is not happy with this teretz either, as the Gemara now asks Rabbi Tafin, Mechtei Heichad Mishtabe Leisagid Lehoida. And l'chaira, if you're telling me that the only time Rabbi Tafin says that Reuven is chayiv to make a hashava directly to the nigzal is only in a case where Reuven made a shvuah l'sheka, and then Reuven was Maida, and then Reuven is going to be chayiv a Karen v'chaymish and Hasham Gzeilos. And since the pasuk in regard to Hasham Gzeilos states Lashel Lo Yitzenu B'yom Hashmasai, therefore Rab Tafin holds that there's a chayiv hashava directly to the nigzal. But the Gemara now asks that according to Rab Tafin, why did the Mishnah say V'nishbalai that Reuven specifically made a shvuah sheka, but l'chira afilu b'lei shvuah nami? That as we will see in a brisa, Rab Tafin holds that this would be the din even in the case where Reuven doesn't swear falsely, as the Tanya we learned in the brisa made Rab Tafin that Rab Tafin's Maida, but that if Reuven stole $100 from either Shimon or Levi, and he goes over to Shimon or Levi, and he's moider that I stole from one of you, and I'm not sure who I stole from, then he has to pay back $100 to each of them. And Reb Tafin explains, and the reason is because we see that he was moider, and therefore he wants to have a full kapara, and the only way to have a full kapara is to return the money to each of the potential people that he stole money from. And in our Mishnah, we should say the same thing, that even if Reuven did not make a shvuah sheka, but Reuven is moida, he stole this money, he should have to return the Karen to anywhere that the Nigzal is, and even in Madai. And because of this question, it seems that our Mishnah is not going to fear up Tafin either. And we continue on Daf Kudal and Aleph, and the Gemara states, Elam Rava, and therefore Rava says that in a Chanami, the machlekes between Rab Tafin and Rab Akiva is not in the case of our Mishnah, and both Rab Tafin and Rab Akiva would agree to the din of our Mishnah, as the only time Rab Tafin and Rab Akiva have their machlekes is only in the case where Reuven stole money from five people, and in that case, we're not sure who he owes the money to. In that case, it doesn't make a difference if Reuven actually made a shvuah or if he didn't make a shvuah, the same din would apply. And if you're Rabbi Akiva, Reuven has to pay back the money to all five people, as otherwise he's not mekayim his chiyuv hashava at all. However, Rabbi Tafin holds that since Reuven wants to give back the money, then he could just say that I'm going to give it back to whatever his money it is, and he could hold on to the money until someone proves that it's their money. However, Shani Masnisin, our Mishnah is different, and there is no machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tafin. The Kivin Diyadol Man Gazli, as since in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where Reuven knows they stole this money from Shimon. So if Reuven did not swear falsely and instead was made to Shimon that he owes the money. In the case of Oidele, Kivin the Efshaladurim and Moinel Mari, since it's possible for Reuven to return the money to Shimon, Havale Commander Amale Yuli Biatcha, so even though Shimon is not here and Reuven can't actually give the money directly to Shimon, but it's as if Shimon told Reuven, keep the money by you and hold on to it as a Bekadin, since you made it, you owe me the money, and therefore I trust you'll give it back to me when I come back. And Hilkochan, therefore, Mishnah says that it's only in the case of Nibra where Reuven swore falsely, and therefore the Torah specifically says that in order for you to have a kapara, there is a din of a shilom isabresha of a chamishisa of yasef alav, lasher lo yitnena b'yemashmasai, and therefore avagav the kamale yili b'yadcha, and even though it's as if Shimon said that you could keep it until I come back from Madai, but keeping the bay kapara, but since Reuven requires a kapara, the only way that this kapara could actually happen is only if Reuven returns the actual money to Shimon. And Masha Inkain, as we explained, halo yishtaba, if Reuven did not swear falsely, have gabe pekadin ad osiv shakalei, and since the pasuk lasher lo yitnena b'yemashmasai doesn't apply, therefore Reuven could just hold on to the money on behalf of Shimon, and he doesn't have to go and deliver it to Madai, and the Mishnah would be going both according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Rabbi Shmuel, and we will stop over here.